This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:16, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now, calls for GE15 have been growing louder, but so too have been the replies that it's just not a good idea with our country's economy right now. We look at the arguments.
So the Prime Minister has been under pressure, really, by members of his own party to dissolve Parliament and to call for an early election before the current term expires in mid-2023. And this is, of course, something that has been gaining momentum with the gaining of momentum, political momentum, from recent wins in the Malacca and Johor state elections. Yesterday, for instance, Barisan National President Datuk Seri Dr. Ahmad Zahid Hamidi rallied around 4,000 delegates at the coalition's 48th National Convention, pledging support for an early election. So they were gathered at Dewan Merdeka and they cheered in response to the questions, who wants to see the GE happen this year? Who wants to see the GE happen soon? And then Zahid actually said in his speech, PM, we are ready to face GE15. So it can't get much clearer than that, I think, you know, that's really quite upfront.
Oh, that was such a vivid description. Thank you. That said, it's not sort of a uniform support expressed for this. And the loudest voice against this idea has thus far been Padang Rengas MP, Datuk Sri Mohamad Nasri Abdul Aziz, who's also from UMNO. And he told Malaysia Kini that politicians calling for the next election when the country is in the midst of facing inflation is selfish. And he pointed out that they're not thinking for the country as a whole, that the priority right now should be the rakyat. And so really, it's two sides of the thing. I mean, we know GE is coming, but there is the 2023 cutoff date. And whether now, given the economic climate that we're facing, is this the right time to have a general election, right? So that's what we're going to examine. We would like to hear from you. Is now a good time to call GE15? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is political economist Ko Yu Ling from Segi Anam Advisors. Yu Ling, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Sharmila. Hi, Lynn.
So what do you make of all these recent calls by factions within UMNO for Parliament to be dissolved?
Well, I think it's quite clear that UMNO is divided between the Ismail Sabri faction, the minister cluster, but the, you know, the grassroots, Zahid, Najib, they're calling for earlier elections. I think as time goes by, the Sabri faction, with its incumbency and power, should gain that upper hand.
So Nasri Aziz has said it's selfish to call for elections now and pointed to rising inflation as a reason why. Would you agree that calling for elections now just simply isn't advisable?
Generally, it's not advisable, you know, for any government to call for an election when the economy is down. The big question is really this, whether the economy will be better next year than this year. And that's pretty questionable.
So then can you give us an overview of where we are in our economic recovery at the moment?
Well, since we've had COVID, the stresses of that, we've really entered into a better phase with the endemic period since 1st of April. The Malaysian economy is growing on internal consumption so far. I mean, just a minor anecdote, I've been fortunate enough to catch up with work and friends, and I've eaten, you know, dim sum a couple of times now, which I hadn't done for 2 years. So it looks like pent-up demand. But the global recovery doesn't look great overall. You know, China has been having its issues, but hopefully that'll improve. But you know, supply chain issues and high commodity prices, I'm not sure whether it's something to celebrate or really something to be, you know, I think something to be a lot more worried about because of our huge subsidies in this economy.
And if we look specifically at inflation, how much of a concern is this? Will it be something we have to contend with in the long term?
It does look like that. We are a small trading nation reliant on imports, and we face global inflation quite clearly. We are shielded from things which are domestic production. For example, some petrol is subsidized. That's domestic. Gas, we have production of that as well. That's subsidized for our power generation, for electricity. We have palm oil, cooking oil. That's also subsidized. But if you look at the things that we have to bring in, some of these things, like even palm oil, require foreign inputs. So there's cost price pressures there for inputs like fertilizer. If you look at things like our famous, you know, instant noodles, the top two ingredients there are flour and palm oil, and those are facing tremendous price pressures. So really, you know, for the next 6 to 9 months plus, we might be continuing to see these cost pressures.
If I may try and draw a link between these two issues, do things like the rising cost of living play a part in when elections are called?
Of course, inflation is a big concern. You know, we have 40% of voters who are economic swing voters, and they will really move between the likes of the Barisan National Coalition and the Pakatan Harapan. And, you know, you'll see politicians, you know, I guess trying to claim credit for high commodity prices, but maybe that situation is going to be an issue for people in the consumption sectors. So they'll have to balance this thing and play out their narratives. But there is a huge swing vote here.
So if we look at inflation, right, realistically, what can the government do between now and next year to overcome inflation and the rising cost of goods in a meaningful way?
I think it's all to do with being able to maintain these huge billions in subsidies. So the government needs fiscal flexibility. That's not wonderful. So we really do need to go back to a lot of basics, good governance, reduce corruption and wastage, white elephant projects, which don't have much return. That obviously detracts from your ability to, say, give more cash to the B40s who are facing these cost pressures. But you need a war chest in case, the price of goods remain elevated and the government may be called upon to provide even more subsidies. These are already so big. If we look down south, Singapore has all this spare cash, so they can then ease the burden of the public with all this money they kept away for a rainy day. So Malaysia doesn't really have such a pool of money. So I think they need to be a lot more careful and look at what they can and can't spend on. It's interesting, I'm hearing from businessmen that some of the tenders which have been given out have been told to pause. I'm not sure whether it's because of this worry about where they're going to have the billions for the subsidies, and also this political uncertainty, because civil servants are, wondering, why do anything now? When if a new bunch comes in, they have to make major revisions on projects. So, we have to consider that aspect of what they're working on. And I think for production as well, I mean, we need more foreign workers and improved productivity just to get more, more palm oil production, more chickens, etc.
Are there other ways in which an election might impact the economy for the worse?
Well, I mean, elections are inherently unstable if there isn't a clear winner. And I think we've kind of experienced that, with the toppling of Pakatan and the sort of changes we've seen since then. And also, I think Malaysia is one of those places where, politics and economic projects are quite linked as well. And I kind of mentioned, sort of alluded to it earlier that, civil servants, because of all these changes in the who is the politician who's chairman of this company or this agency. So it lends that kind of uncertainty where it's always political appointments and therefore there's impact of projects. So the election itself causes things to both sort of accelerate, maybe sort of, fixing the roads. But then when you're talking about, mega millions and billions of projects, some get accelerated and some get pause. So it's pretty uncertain, but overall an issue.
And how do you expect the current administration to rely on economic data when it comes to either calling the elections or maybe framing their political campaign in the months to come?
I think the government, as we talked about, has to call an election by May 2023. They'll be looking at every quarter's economic data. They'll have to adjust what they can do, their narrative for those, but we only have three quarters before they're out of time. So more importantly, if they do not call the election early, you'll see the budget table in October. So that'll be a guide on whether Sabri's government is confident or not. So that's going to be a key thing. And so far as I've sort of spoken to various market participants, bankers, businessmen as well, I mean, there is a view that the current administration is new, untested. There are even some grouses about directions, project stalls, and chatter about competency here and there. So, you know, many things that affect how the economy and how projects run.
Yuling, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was political economist Kor Yuling from Sagi & Nam Advisors, weighing in on whether this is the right time, particularly when it comes to our economy, to call for GE15. Keep those thoughts coming. Is now a good time to call GE15? You can call 77332900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.